Good morning. I brought one of my favorite books with me this morning just to kind of show. It's Jensen's Survey of the New Testament. This is the book that you will be going through on this class that was just announced. I took this class at the School of Ministry years ago in Albuquerque, and I also taught this class at the School of Ministry years ago. So this is a great class to give you a great foundation in the New Testament. 14 weeks, it's going to be a commitment. It'll be a bit of a challenge for you. But I want to just highly encourage, if you have that time that you can put forth to that, I still use this book almost every week. So it's a wonderful opportunity for you to learn how to understand the New Testament better. So you can put your name there on the list, and we'll make sure you have a book on Thursday, May 9th, all right? All right, let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the teaching of your word. We thank you for this great, awesome promise that we consider this morning. Uplift the spirits of your people. Strengthen us for the days ahead. We seek, Lord, to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, is one of those golden nugget verses in the Bible. We read verse 6 last time together in the broader context of verses 3 through 8. But this morning I want to back the truck up, as they say. And I want to take a closer look at verse 6. And I'm even going to put it up on screen for you this morning. Take a look. Paul writing says, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That verse has been memorized by many Christians throughout church history. Many Christians throughout church history have held on to that. And it's certainly one of the greatest promises that you find in the scripture. It's so encouraging to us. My preference when teaching the Bible is the New King James Version. But I also want you to see how this verse is translated in other English versions of the Bible. The New American Standard reads, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." The English Standard Version puts it this way. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. NIV, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then finally, the New Living Translation. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Now, what do all those translations, what does that verse tell us about God? Well, I think it's pretty simple. God finishes what he starts. God initiates good works. He maintains them. He continues in them. And he completes them. And he does that with every good work that he begins. I love that about God. I love that you can trust God to finish something. so different from us. Many of us have so many different intentions in life. There's so many different things that we might start. And we get excited about them, and yet somehow we don't follow through. We all have that in our life. Anybody here have any unfinished projects at home? Any unfinished projects on the honey-do list? In the garage, in your workshop, in your yard? We have so many things that we don't finish. Even the greats. Michelangelo was a genius, a sculptor and a painter. His statues of Moses and David are among the world's masterpieces. Yet today, there's an entire museum in Florence, Italy, that's dedicated to Michelangelo's unfinished works. God's not like that. God finishes every work. He has a 100% success rate. He doesn't finish 80% of his works or 90% or even 99.9%. But 100% of his works. And the work that he completes is completed 100%. You never hear God in heaven say, well, that's almost finished. Good enough for government work. God never says that. He starts a work. He stays at that work. And he finishes that work. And Paul says, I'm confident of that. In the other translations, he says, you can be certain of that. I'm sure of that. God finishes his work. Now it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you. There are different ways to understand what Paul is saying here, according to different Bible scholars. And there's a couple ways, and I think they're both valid. Some believe that Paul is speaking about the local church in Philippi. That little local church that was born in that city of Philippi way back in 53 AD. Remember that Paul was the founding pastor of that church, and God used him to found that church. And if you look at the book of Acts chapter 16, you discover that that little church in Philippi was definitely something that God began. In fact, we just read about it this Tuesday night with the men's group. It's an incredible story. Paul is on his second missionary journey with Silas and other team members, and they're not sure where they're going to go. They think, well, let's go north into Asia, and the text says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go north. So then they try, well, maybe we'll go to this place called Bithynia. And again, it says the Holy Spirit forbid them. So they're not sure where they're going to go on this mission trip. And then Paul goes to bed one night and he gets a vision. And there's a man from Macedonia in his vision saying, come, help us. And so Paul gets up, shares that vision with the team. They pray about it. They conclude that they should go to Macedonia. God sent them to that very strategic location. Philippi would be their first city in what is now Europe. So Paul goes there. He shares the gospel with a woman named Lydia. She gets saved, her and her household. He shares the gospel with a demon-possessed slave girl. She is saved. He shares the gospel with the Philippian jailer and his wife and their household, and they're saved. And there's this beautiful local church that was born right there in Philippi. And God did that work. It wasn't Paul. Paul and his team were vessels. This letter now is written 10 years removed from that, and God has continued to do a work in that church. They've grown. They have leadership. They're growing out into Europe even. God began that work. He sustained that work, and he completed that work. And I believe every local church that has truly been born of God is a good work of God. I truly believe that about our church. I believe Calvary Chapel Sun City is a good work of the Lord. You know, 28 years ago, Kim and I felt like God had called us into the ministry to pastor a church, and I sent resumes all over the place. El Paso was never even on the radar. I never had any idea whatsoever. But long story short, God brought Kim and I to El Paso, and there was a small group of believers that we began meeting with in a home on Wednesday nights. Turned into a Sunday morning service at the YMCA. Then we went into a 2,000 square foot storefront on Donovan Park Circle. After a couple years, we doubled that to 4,000. Then we came to this property where we spent 4 years meeting in a tent. And then God gave us this sanctuary. And God continued to grow it. And eventually we went to two services. And I can remember when we first came out on this property, we were the only ones here. There was no neighborhood across the street. We were the farm church that met in the tent. God worked. God is working. God continues to work. And I believe that on one hand, every local church is a beautiful, good work. From Philippi to every local church. And you know, I would even take a huge step back and say that the whole church is God's good work. The universal church that is comprised of all true believers in Christ Jesus over the last 2,000 years, including those now with the Lord in heaven, and all believers on planet Earth today. It's a good work. Jesus said that he would build his church. He initiated the work. In Matthew 16, he said, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And then the church was born. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it started with, 12 disciples with Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, there's 120. The Holy Spirit is poured out. Peter preaches. 3,000 souls are saved. By Acts chapter 4, there's 20,000 people, members of the church in Jerusalem. Then the church spreads into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And recent statistics indicate that 1,150,000,000 people today identify themselves as Christians. And there are well over 100,000 Christian missionaries and mission organizations all over planet Earth. And praise God, the church came to El Paso. Amen. That is God's good work. The church. Every local church that makes up the church. Every individual Christian that makes up every local church that makes up the church. Jesus said, "I will build my church and nothing will stop it." He has built his church over 2,000 years. He's building it today and he will continue to build it. Until when? Until the day of Jesus Christ. When is the day of Jesus Christ? That's speaking about the second coming of Christ. When Christ comes again, which kicks off with Jesus coming for the church, to rapture the church. When God is done building the church will be brought to heaven. And my friends, if you think it's bad now, imagine when the church is gone. All the salt is removed. All the light. It's a good work of the Lord. So on one hand, it could speak of church. On the other hand, this verse could also speak of every single individual Christian. being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, you see that word you? In the Greek, it's plural. You could translate it, you all. God, who has begun a good work in you all, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the idea is, every true born-again Christian is a beautiful work of God. If you're a born-again Christian here this morning, you're a beautiful work of God. God began a good work in you, and he continues to do so. And he will complete you. And you can hold on to that promise. I want to break that down just a bit. God's good work. It's important to understand that God has done a good work for you. And that good work for you is found in the gospel message. According to the Bible, we've all sinned, we've all fallen short from the glory of God. And we, as sinners, are separate from God. But God, in his love and grace, made it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. God did that. He took that initiative. Jesus bore our sins at the cross. He completed that sacrifice, and on the third day, he rose again. That good work begins in you at the moment of salvation. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God has done that work for, but it happens in you. It begins in you when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that an incredible miracle takes place in your life the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You are saved. You are justified. You are redeemed. You are born again. You become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. You're given a new heart. You're made a citizen of heaven. And all of that happens at the moment that you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that moment, God's good work begins in you. And I want you to just think about the power of that. And maybe even look back to the story of your salvation, your conversion. Do you remember when you gave your life to Jesus? Do you remember that moment? That's when God's work began in you. But you could even look even before that moment, couldn't you? I'll bet you could look back and with your story, you could see how God was drawing you to himself. Maybe it was a friend who was witnessing to you. Maybe you went to a church worship service or some kind of Christian event. Maybe you just read the Bible. You know, a lot of people have been saved just by reading the Bible. Maybe it was circumstances in your life that knocked you down, flat on your back, where all you could do is look up. Maybe it was a combination of all those sorts of things. But God was drawing you to himself. And you responded. And you said yes to Jesus. And you were born again. God began his good work in you at that moment. But that's not where it ends. After you get saved, God continues to do a good work in you in this process called sanctification. Now, this is very, very important to understand. When you become a born-again Christian, you're like a babe in Christ. And God's desire for you is that you grow spiritually into a mature believer. And it's also God's purpose to transform those whom he saves into men and women of God that become like Jesus. And so there's this process where you've gotten saved, you've been born again, and now God wants to work in you to change you, to make you holy, to make you better. Now that, my friends, is a process. That is not a switch that you just turn on. It's a lifelong process. In fact, one person said, "The conversion of a soul is the miracle of a moment. The growth of a saint is the work of a lifetime." The sanctification process requires your cooperation. God is going to work in you, but you need to cooperate with him. So as you become more mature as a Christian, you've done so because you're deciding to read your Bible and to grow and to pray and to be a part of fellowship. And as you do that, as you make that effort, God works in you to grow you. The Bible also teaches that as born-again Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And as we grow in our walk with Christ, we become more and more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And so he begins to empower us to change our way of living. That we live holier lives, that we become more sanctified, more set apart unto God. It's a process. It requires your cooperation, and it can be a struggle. The Bible says that, yes, we are new natures in Christ Jesus, but we have those old sinful natures hanging around. And so it can be a struggle where we'll take two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes you go through seasons where you're doing better. Other times you go through seasons where you're not doing so good. And that's because you're in a struggle with your old nature. D.L. Moody once said, "I've had more trouble with D.L. Moody than any other man I've known." And that is absolutely true. And here's what you need to understand. A lot of Christians will get really frustrated in that sanctification process. They'll get discouraged. They might start and then there's these setbacks. Listen, you got a great promise. God never gives up on you. God promised, "I've started a good work in you and I'm going to maintain that work in you." When you stumble, God's there to pick you up. If you start blowing it big time as a Christian, God is going to be like a good father. And you know what good fathers do? They discipline. They get us back on track. God will make sure, God will move in your life to get you back on track with that sanctification process. And just understand that you're going to have that struggle and that we all have rough edges. There are things about our life that we're going to have to smooth out. But you trust God. I think all of us as Christians should think of ourselves as having a sign around our necks that says, "Under construction." God isn't finished with me yet. I love what Ruth Graham said. She saw a sign on a highway. And she said, "I'm going to copy this sign or have someone copy this sign to my tombstone." And the sign says, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." I love that. There is this sanctification work that God wants to do in you, my friend. And it does require your cooperation. but it's also God working in you. The Bible goes on to say that as Christians, God wants to do a good work through you. Through you. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Verse 8 and 9, your salvation. You understood the gospel, you understood grace, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you were born again. The good work began. Goes on to say in verse 10, we are his what? Workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word workmanship, I love it. It's the Greek word poema. It speaks of poems. It speaks of masterpieces. So God has saved you so that you might be his poem. A work of art. He wants to do good works through you. So it says you were created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's a real general sense to that verse. It means we're all called to be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. To be good Christian examples in our community. Where we go to work, our school and our family, all of that. God's created you for that. But I also see in that a specific. I believe every Christian has a specific walk, a good work that God wants to do through. For me, I believe it was being called to be a pastor. That's what God called me to do. For others, it's being called into a mission field. For others, it's called to help the homeless. Some area of ministry, my brother, my sister in Christ, God wants to do something through you. Something good that impacts others. And there's so many different ways to be involved in that. And the Mustard Seed Cafe, the homeless shelter, the Westside Pregnancy Center, all the different missionary organizations that you can become a part of, all the different ways that you can be involved. We had a dear brother here at the church for many years. He's with the Lord now. His race is over. But like one Saturday every month, I forget what it was, like for 25 years, he and his wife would go to the Opportunity Center and make lasagna for the men. And he brought my family with him once. And it's really cool. I don't even like lasagna, but I liked his lasagna. It was really good. And every one Saturday a month for 20 years, he'd make the lasagna, and while it's cooking, we'd play a game. And then when it's done, we pull it out, and then all the men come in, and you give them lasagna, and you share the gospel with him. And that was his calling. It was a good work. All the good works that God wants to do through us, hospital ministry, prison ministry, homeless ministry, marriage ministry, youth ministry, children's ministry. God has called us to that. And by the way, that one also requires cooperation on your part. Will you let God do good works through you? So God's good work begins in you at the moment of salvation. He maintains his work in you in sanctification and through good works. And then we get to the final piece of God's good work. He will complete you. He will do something to you one day. He will glorify you. It says, he who began this good work will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now again, the day of Jesus Christ is the second coming of Christ. Think of it as the end of this age as we know it. Think of it as the portal into heaven for all those who haven't yet died. In other words, God will get you to heaven. If you've been born again, God will get you to heaven. And in heaven, you will be transformed. Everything about you will be different. You'll become more like Jesus. Not divine like Jesus, but like Jesus in his glorified form. We're told in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." At the end of the age, the finishing touch on you, you'll become like Jesus. You'll enter heaven. You'll be glorified. Revelation chapter 21 says, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, and I love this, "Behold, I make all things new." You know, there's coming a time when Jesus Christ will say, "I will make all things new. Brand new." We can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. But if you're a born-again Christian, Jesus is getting you there. You'll be there. And that will be the perfection, the finished project of you. In you, salvation. In you, sanctification. Through you, good works. To you, glorification. I had a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary who gave me an illustration concerning this that I'll never forget. Picture, we're all in a big lecture hall, okay? And there's no windows, there's nothing. And we're all sitting there, and he turns off every light. It is pitch black. You can barely see your hand. And the professor says, "That's you before you got saved." And then he turns on the light. The lights come on. That's you when you got saved. The light turned on. Now, these lights were on a dimmer switch. So the light turns on, but it's not full blaze yet. And then he starts taking the light and goes, "Here's you now." Dims it up, down. "Oh, you're doing a little better here?" Down. God has the sanctification. You're in the sanctification. You're in the fight. You're going for it. You're doing as much as you can. You go forward, you come back. This is the sanctification process. This is God working with you and in you and wanting to work through you. And then, taking us all by surprise, he turned the lights to full blaze. And all of us went. He goes, "What's that?" Heaven. Glorification. God will do that in your life. This verse, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, maybe you're in some season of frustration. Maybe you feel like God has given up on you. You take this to heart. God never gives up on his people. God began that work in you, and he's working in you. Now, some of you may need to cooperate a little more. And you know why? You should cooperate because of what he's done for you and what he's going to do for you at the end. Why waste your life here on worldly stuff? Be involved in that sanctification process. Let God do good works through you. It could be that you're here this morning and that light hasn't yet clicked. God hasn't begun a good work in you yet. Maybe you thought you had to be religious. You thought you had to keep a bunch of rules. Or maybe you thought there were these other ideas that you had. You didn't understand how salvation works. You need to understand that salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's when the new birth is. That's when the good work begins. And that miracle can happen in your life right now. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? God, we're so thankful, Lord, that your work is good. Thank you for beginning a good work in our lives. For the finished product that you have in mind. And then just right now, with just in this quiet moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe God has been drawing you to himself. There have been circumstances people are sharing with you. God brought you to this service. The Holy Spirit is reaching out. He's speaking to you. And I'm just going to ask you, have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you made that decision? Have you opened your heart to him? If not, I want you to have an opportunity right now to do it. And I want you to indicate that to me. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high so I can see it. Anybody here this morning? If God is speaking to you, don't wait. I want that good work to begin right now. Well then, church, let's all stand together. Father, I thank you. For this time together, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray that we would leave encouraged, refreshed, excited about what you've done in our lives, what you want to do in our lives, and what you will continue to do in our lives. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.